Well, it's good to be back together again. We bring love and greetings from the Ciceros. Last week we got the privilege of seeing them, and I thought we'd do a little recount of what we've been looking at the last few weeks. And we've been looking at the journey from sin and the alienation to the gift of grace, the work of Christ, and the reconciliation that we have to God. All those things that we looked at are important because it's a process or a journey that God has provided for us from sin, rebellion, all the way up to the reconciliation. It took the atonement, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone would qualify as that sacrifice. No man could do what he did because he was without blemish and without spot, and it would take that sacrifice. So that atonement that we've been provided by God, acted out and brought through by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then it says, when he was raised from the dead, that was the declaration of our acquittal. Of our acquittal. It's interesting, when we sang that song today, it didn't say all of my sins erase. It said all of my guilt erase. It is not held accountable to us because of that declaration. When God raised up Jesus Christ, that was the proof. That was the declaration that his sacrifice was accepted by God. Our sentence of acquittal was given. We were justified. Being justified by faith of Jesus Christ, we now stand in his righteousness before God and not our own. That's the joy of being a Christian. It's not by our own merit that we have a relationship with God. It's not by our own merit that we stand right before him. Remember, it was sin that separated man from the holy God. It alienated man from the holy God. God never looks at sin lightly. He didn't before, with Adam and all of mankind, dealt with the sin of Adam and held under the sin of Adam, because Adam was the representative of mankind. Jesus Christ is the representative of the Christian, all the Christian, all his body, all the world who would choose to enter into the provision that God so freely gave to us to reconcile us back to him. I think 1 Peter 3:18 really sums it up. He died once for all, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. That he may bring us to God. And now we truly can have a relationship with God. We're not fettered by sin and the consequences of sin, because God provided this way for us to have a relationship with him. And it's legal. God is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. And then we get to this beautiful concept of being reconciled to God, to being brought back together with God. There's a word. Well, turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. On the road to reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, at the very end of that chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse 29. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but, verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Think about the wisdom of God. As by the sin of one man, many were made sinners, by the gift of righteousness, because of the righteous act of one, Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. If you think about that, what a plan. And it's all legal. It's all legal. When God sacrificed his son represented man. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. But that doesn't mean everyone in the whole world is going to have eternal life. It doesn't mean that everyone in the whole world is going to receive the forgiveness and the remission of sins. But it's provided and it's invited. The whole world's invited. That's the gospel message. The gospel message of the free gift. The gospel message of deliverance from wrath. The gospel message of grace and mercy. The gospel message of what the Christ did to reconcile man back to God. And it's by faith. It's by faith. The standard of justice is the faith of Jesus Christ that Christians are judged by. Christians are judged by that standard of justice, faith of Jesus Christ. God provided it for mankind. God opened it up for everyone. You see words like whosoever, anyone, whosoever. And it's in your heart that you want everyone, every single person, to accept that invitation. The invitation, the high and mighty calling in Christ, Jesus. And for those of us who have chosen to take that blessing, to enter into that provision that God has laid out for mankind, what a joy it is to think about. What a joy it is to know that we have eternal life. Eternal life. Try to wrap your head around that one. Eternity. Eternity with each other. Eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. And eternity with God Almighty. And we will be in the presence of His glory forever. I'd say that's a good day. And it's because of this provision that God has made. God knows our frame. He knows us. And yet, I wonder if He loves us. God has proven that. And He's proven that for God so loved the world in this manner. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. I think about in Romans chapter 8, where God in His Word says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us. Can we separate us? Nothing can separate us. Can death separate us? No. Even those Christians who have died, do you know how they're described? They sleep in Jesus. They're still in Jesus, and they will be raised again. It's a promise by He who cannot lie and does not change, God Almighty. And we think of this, and we get to be reconciled to that God who loved us and proved it so much. In Genesis, after Adam rebelled, after sin entered into the world, what's God's first words to Adam? Adam, where are you? He's God Almighty. His understanding is infinite. Do you think He knew where Adam was? Adam, where are you? What changed? Sin, alienation, separation. Where are you? And what were Adam and Eve doing? Let's see. First, we're going to put on some camouflage, and then we're going to go hide in the trees. Why were they hiding? Did they have to hide before? What's different? Sin. And they were alienated from God, separated from God. And yet, He has provided a way for mankind to have that relationship with Him, brought back, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. I love that song. Nothing can atone for sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Jesus died for us. His blood was shed for us. He was sacrificed for us. He was the expiatory sacrifice. He substituted Himself in our place. There on the cross where He took my place. Glory to His name. There on the cross where He took my place. That's a big one. Oh, I'm having a rough day. There on the cross where He took my place. People were unkind to me today. There on the cross where He took my place. You just don't understand. There on the cross where He took my place. You think it would be good to kind of have some of those songs just kind of revolving in our hearts and in our minds during the day, to think about the word behind those songs? When we look at this reconciliation, where we know where He was delivered for our offenses and He was raised again, declaring our acquittal, where we know that we stand righteous before God Almighty, not in our own righteousness, but His. How good is Jesus Christ's righteousness? How righteous is it? As righteous as it's going to get. As righteous as it's going to get. It's the righteousness that God has provided. We get to stand. I think of the Apostle Paul when he said about that day, that I may be found in Him. That may be found not in my own righteousness, but in His righteousness. That's how He wanted to be found. And we can know within the depth of our hearts with total assurity that that's how we will be found. Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Talk about the road to reconciliation. Not only did He bring us to reconcile us to God Almighty, but it's eternal. It's eternal. Our reconciliation to God is eternal. I can't lose that. I can forget about it. I can't act like I don't know about it. I can't lose it as a Christian. And to live our days knowing that's the security of the relationship that we have with our God, hold that in our hearts. Yeah, that's the kind of job that Jesus Christ did when He hung on the cross and in his last words, and He says, "It is finished." Complete. Complete in him. I am complete in him. Hallelujah. You know, those songs just aren't, well, we'll pick a good one. When you look at what God wanted for us today is to sing those songs together, to be thinking about this stuff together, to be opening up the Word together. Is it exciting? Is there an amount of joy that we can latch on to there? Boy, it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to be a Christian. Let's turn our Bibles and go to the book of Colossians. This road to reconciliation. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. It'd be great to just read this whole thing, but we're going to take a good look at this. Chapter 1, verse, well, we'll start in 18. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 18. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, or among all things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, to reconcile all things, having made peace through the blood of his cross. When people are alienated, they're separated. God gives us a little bit more information about this alienation. We can read in Romans, when we were enemies, he gave his son. When we were enemies, there was hostility between mankind and God. Jesus Christ is the peace that does away with that hostility between man and God. The hostility that was brought about because of sin. The separation. The alienation from God. Now, with the blood of Jesus Christ, purchasing that peace that we have with God, there's no more anything that keeps us apart from him. And our relationship with God is in Christ Jesus. That is our relationship with God. You know what kind of relationship Adam had before he sinned? Yeah. Nothing separating him. Hey, Adam, what do you think we should name these animals? Oh, I'll name that one a cow. They had a relationship. They had a relationship. But because Adam sinned, the relationship was ruined. Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his completed work wrought on the cross and authenticated and authorized by the resurrection from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, that Jesus Christ. Do you know what kind of relationship and righteousness we have with God? Eternal. It's not one that we can lose because it's not merited by us. It's merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the standard of our righteousness. By faith, we believe in him. We believe that he sacrificed himself for us. We believe that he was the perfect, unblemished, unspotted Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, right? We believe that. And we believe that God raised him from the dead. Oh, evil and darkness, they were having a day. They were having a day. We won. Jesus is dead. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Jesus remembered the words of his Father that God would raise him from the dead, and God's word is yea, and God's word in him is amen. On his way to the cross, hanging on the cross, as he breathed out his last breath, do you know what Jesus knew? That God was going to raise him from the dead. It says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame as he hung there between the malefactors. I thought it was interesting the other day. I was listening to a preacher. He says, we need to publicly confess the Lord Jesus. He publicly died for us. And I thought, wow, I guess that's pretty something. Where we say out loud, we confess the Lord Jesus. I think about every time we do communion, every single time we do communion, we reestablish our fealty, our devotion, our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering what his sacrifice meant, what his sacrifice accomplished. Every time we do it. Think about it. Every time we gather together, we're establishing in our hearts and saying to the world, Jesus is Lord. Oh, it's a big deal. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether things in earth or in heaven, and you that were sometime or at one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Who did the reconciliation? God, by way of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, alienated, enemies, wicked works in our minds were reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Then look at verse 23. Remember what kind of reconciliation we had? Eternal. Remember what kind of righteousness we had? Sure, and in based on the merit of Jesus Christ. And then you read verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every man which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. People can read that and think it's conditional. Our reconciliation is not conditional. The only condition was that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have done that. There was a lot of error being preached in the city of Colossae, the Colossians, right? A lot of error. You had one set of error was the legalist, where you have to do a little bit more to help Jesus with the completed work. It wasn't quite complete. I need to do this in order to acquire my salvation, and I need to do that in order to maintain it. Need to do a little law here. In addition to Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice was a complete sacrifice. He didn't need anybody helping him out because no one could. And you had this, and then you had people, what are they called? The sophists. The sophists were those in Greek time. They were paid. They were paid to proclaim philosophy and to proclaim rhetoric and to proclaim mysticism. Oh, yeah. A whole different thing. And these things were alluring to the Colossians. This if is exhorting the Colossians to contemplate reality. And the reality was, he's saying to them, be who you have been made and hold fast to that. Know who you are, know who you have been made, and hold fast to that. And yet that if kind of exhorts the Colossians to kind of examine themselves in light of all that Christ had done for them. Examine themselves to remember and to see what their faith rested on. And it rested on Christ. Not world wisdom, not rhetoric, not mysticism, and not on the deeds of the law. It rested on Christ. It's a sure reconciliation that we have. It's a sure, certain reconciliation with God. And oh, what a pity it would be. Oh, what a shame it would be to have tasted the gospel, the goodness of the gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ and all that we've been looking at. What a pity it would be to taste that and then to be lured away with some other BS. Right? To hold fast to this gospel. It cost God a lot. To hold fast to this. To don't be lured away by Johnny Come Lately in Colossae. Well, they're not exclusive to Colossae. They come in and steal away what you've known to be true. To put things on you that we cannot do. We cannot acquire our own salvation. We cannot maintain our own salvation. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a pity it would be to be lured away from that. The simplicity of Christ. And I exhort us all that we help one another together to stand and to live in light of that gospel, in light of that glorious finished work of redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ, that we're no longer alienated from God because of sin. We're no longer separated from God. Our relationship is not apart. That we are sure in our hearts, and we can help one another be sure in our hearts of the provision that God has given us of atonement and justification and righteousness and redemption. In the weeks to come, we're going to look at something else. It's called sanctification. And it means to be separated from that which is common unto God. Consecrated unto God. And do you know what sanctified us? The blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We can look at that. But our reconciliation is sure. And we've been reconciled in one body. We've been reconciled in one body. And what body is that? The body of Christ. We've been reconciled in one body. Let us help each other to stand in the knowledge of the gospel about that. That we don't let it be taken away from us. That we're not lured away from the pure truth of the gospel. And may we grow in our appreciation of the plan of salvation, the wisdom, the atonement, the justification, the pronouncement of acquittal, the righteousness in Christ Jesus. All that we have in the sweet gospel, once we've tasted it, let us never forget it and be lured away by other things. Amen. Amen.